Jim. Dr. Jim is with his daughter today. She's having a surgery on her knee in the hospital, and he graciously asked me to take over the program today. And so I'm going to give it a shot. I apologize for those who've been on for a little while. The music was Willie Nelson singing Moonlight in Vermont. I wanted to have some music like Dr. Jim does, and I don't have my iTunes in categories. I would be playing religious music, but I don't have it categorized, so I was afraid that if I just put it on random, there's no telling what you might be hearing. So anyway, I thank you for being here today, and our format is going to be a little bit different because we're going to have this show as a question and answer show. And I hope that you will call in, and this is your chance to ask any questions that you may have. I think we've had about 26 interviews now, and over that time, surely you would have a question or two. Or if you just have a comment, I would be glad for you to call in and make any comments you may have. And I want to thank Dr. Jim for having me on his show originally. And for all the times that we've talked, it's just been a great enjoyment for me. And hopefully it has been informative to you. And don't be nervous. I'm a little bit nervous myself this morning because this is the first time I've done a live show. But you can help me out by calling and discussing my upcoming book, which is called Tolerating Tyranny. And I'm sure some of you may be wondering when it's going to come out. I'm wondering that same thing myself. I didn't know that it was going to be such a long process or how hard it would be to write a book. But I hopefully we may have it out by the end of this year. There's some more editing to do, and I don't know how long that might take. But anyway, we're working on it as hard as we can, and so I believe we ought to begin, as we usually do, with a word of prayer, and then I'll give you the phone number to call in. But let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you for another day of your grace. We're so thankful that you are our God, a God that is immutable. You do not change, and you have the answers. You've always known the answers, and we're going through some pretty tough times now in our country. And it appears that they might get much rougher before it's over. And we just pray that you will help us to have an open mind as we look for solutions in your word, and that we implore you to help us to do the right thing. And pray that you will just give us that peace that passes understanding as we meet each exigency, and that we'll have confidence and courage through your mighty word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the number that you can call in today is area code 979-830-0163. That's 979-830-0163. Also, my website, the church's website, is www.countrybiblechurch.us. And if you'd like to send me an email, my email address is Mike, M-I-K-E, 44gv@gmail.com. So what I'm going to do until I get a call is just continue on the book where we left off last time. You may remember that I was going over Dr. Ramsey's oration. Dr. Ramsey was a field surgeon in the First War of Independence, which some people call the Revolutionary War. Actually, it really didn't fit the description of revolution. But this is 18 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed. We have Dr. Ramsey going over this, how wonderful the things were at that time. And I believe we'll just begin in the paragraph that says, this is Dr. Ramsey again in his oration, and quoting him, "It is one of the particular privileges we enjoy in consequence of independence that no individual, no party interest, and no foreign influence can plunge us into war. Think of the cruel war now carrying on by kings and nobles against the equal rights of man. Call to mind the slaughtered thousands whose blood is daily shedding on the plains of Europe, and let your daily tribute of thanks ascend to the common parent of the universe, which he's, of course, referring to God there, who has established you in a separate government exempt from participating in these hard scenes. Now, what I'm doing is reading from my book, Tolerating Tyranny, and that was Dr. Ramsey giving his oration, and now I read from my input following. Had the colonists remained in Europe, they would have been conscripted to fight, not to defend their country, because their king had an argument or a dispute with another king, but since the new government was established on God's principles, those in the new world were exempt from fighting the horrendous wars for frivolous reasons. They kept their focus on protecting their own country from foreign attack and their noses in their own business. I think that all of us can easily make the comparison of how things were then to where the American people kept their nose in their own business as opposed to how things are now. We are engaged in a war at the present in Afghanistan. The war in Iraq is presumably finished. However, we still are engaged in various ways there. And these wars were started without a declaration of war from the Congress, as the Constitution requires. The difference between our country and other countries, God has blessed us mightily with the wealth in nature, the prosperity. He richly blessed us. However, what separates us from the masses and the other countries of the world is the United States Constitution. And that Constitution really came from the Declaration of Independence. When the colonists came here for freedom, mainly for religious freedom, they recognized for the first time in world history that our rights come from God. We have our first caller here. Hello?
Mike?
Yes.
This is old Pete.
Okay, hold on just a second, Pete. Let me put you over here close to the microphone where people can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, this is Pete Monty. He lives in Brenham, Texas, and happens to be a member of my church. And by the way, I told the members of my church yesterday that I hope that they will give me a call and not just leave me hanging on this question and answer program. No, normally, it's Dr. Jim that is doing the asking the questions, and now you have the opportunity to ask me questions. So I hope that you will join Pete and just ask whatever question you want. So, Pete, what do you have on your mind this morning?
Well, I've been reading the book Integrity of God by R.B. Thiem Jr., and there's some beautiful things in there about how tyranny was curtailed at one time. It comes from ancient history of Greece. And but if you have the book, anybody has it, it's on page 28 and 29 of The Integrity of God. And it goes into, I'm going to just read a short portion here that it tells about all abuses and everything in the past that they'd had in by government in Greece. It says this on about the middle of the page on 29. In Siloam's day, the government leaders had woven a web of decrees that tyrannized and exploited the citizens of Attica, the city-state of which Athens was capital. These rulers tried to play God. They coveted power. They poked their noses in law-abiding citizens. They continually pass new laws without regard to freedom or free enterprise, which is a true source of national prosperity. They attempted to remove the problems of mankind through legislation, especially through laws designed to solve the problems of 1% of the population with solutions imposed on all. Solon witnessed this abuse of authority, which is all too similar to what we see in the United States today. And as a aristocratic member of the ruling assembly, he eventually became the archon, and while serving his term, he persuaded the Athenians to adopt a new code. I guess that would be like a constitution, Mike. Anyhow, the old tyranny was set aside. Solon's new system guaranteed freedom for every citizen. Privacy and property were protected. Free enterprise became the order of the day. It sounds like our founding fathers learned something from that, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like instead of ancient Greece, it's talking about us.
Yeah, I can't hardly hear you. You're breaking up on me, but I'll go on and finish and then turn it loose. But Solon was, I don't know how you pronounce it. I know it's not Saloon. Solon, I guess, was confident. He knew he had the right answers. And he did a very clever thing. He convinced the Athenians to pass one final statute decreeing that no one could add or subtract from the law except Solon himself. Then, it goes on to tell on the rest of the passage there, he disappeared and took a 10-year sabbatical and nobody could change the law, and the greatest prosperity of that time had in that 10 years sprang up. And here we're violating everything, and with just the opposite, I believe, will happen when all this government interference and government protection and all the evils that are set up saying that we're going to get security is going to do just the opposite. So just what can we do? Now we can't. We don't want to. I don't think we need a constitutional convention because it'll open it with who's in control today. I think we could end up with a communist constitution. So what can we do today to really turn this thing around? And not only God can turn it around, but men were always involved in history. So
stay on the line. I'll talk loud. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. History surely repeats itself, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
When you were reading that, it sounded like you watched the news yesterday.
Yeah. I watched it yesterday. I was sick of it.
It sounded like you were commenting on what we see on the news just about every day now.
Uh-huh.
And surely the people are fed up. Have you seen the poll numbers? I saw one poll number that said that 60% of the American people would just like to throw everyone in Congress out and start over.
Yeah, I've seen that poll increasing all along, yeah.
There's been, for quite a while, there has been undercurrent, a groundswell of people who are fed up with the way things are now. But what's going on with the Congress and the President and the House and the Senate and all these things, all the scandals, people have had it up to here, and now they're ready to do something. And they're probably most of the people out that are listening to this are of the same opinion, I would imagine. If they're not, then they can call in and tell me so and tell me what they think is so great about what's happening in our country. But what most people are wondering, what can we do? Isn't that what you asked me?
That's right.
What can we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing that anybody should do before they act is to be informed. And I think that's one thing that is paralyzing this country, is that there's so many people that are not informed. They're not informed about the Bible. They're not informed about the Constitution. Most of them don't even know what their rights are. And if you don't know your rights, it's the same as not having rights. And so we need to be informed. I wonder how many people out there that are listening have read the Constitution. I mean, have you ever really just sat down and read it, read and studied the Constitution? Because if you do, you might be shocked. Now, and I'm talking about the United States Constitution, not the state's constitution, but we're focusing on the federal constitution right now. And they might be shocked of what we have, what our rights are, and the limitations that the Constitution puts on the government. And once you start ignoring the Constitution, as we have, not just recently, this has developed over decades and decades, over many administrations. Dr. Jim likes to call it balling the frog. Incrementally, little by little, we have degenerated to the point now to where I know that Mark Levine calls this the post-constitutional era. And I think that he's right in describing it that way, because probably, I don't know what percentage, maybe around 90% of what the government does now is unconstitutional. And they get by with it because it's become the norm. People don't even think in terms of holding our leaders, hold them accountable for the Constitution. And every leader takes a solemn oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And yet, most of what they do is unconstitutional. So the first thing that we need to do if we're going to save this country is be informed ourselves, not only with the Constitution. And I would challenge everyone listening, to get the Constitution. I have a little book here. It's called the see if you can see it here. It's called the Citizens Rulebook. And in it is the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and a lot of historical information. It's small. You can see it's just a little thin book. And let's see. Let me give you some more information about it. You can order it. You can go online and Google Citizens Rulebook, and it has the Bill of Rights in it. It's also subtitled Jury Handbook. And then it says the fireworks are in the document itself. Read the Constitution. It says that right on this book. You can get it on the internet, or if you like, you can just go to the internet and Google the Constitution of the United States, and it'll come up. You can download it onto your computer, read it at your leisure. You can do whatever you want, but read the Constitution. The Constitution is not inspired by God, but it is a phenomenal document. And in it, it puts the restraints on the federal government. And when you understand how far we have drifted away from that, then you start to understand why we are in the mess that we're in today. So the first thing to do if we're going to save our country is be informed with the Constitution. But that's only part of it. We also have to be informed with what the Bible says. And there are very, very few people who know anything about the relationship between government and Christians as it is outlined in the Bible. And the reason is because there are very few pastors that know what that relationship is. Most of the time, pastors, if they say anything about the relationship between Christians and government, they go to Romans 13, and yet rather than keeping it in context, they use it nearly as an escape hatch. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says that we are to obey government. I'm sorry, I just lost my screen here. Got distracted here for a moment. That we are to obey government because government is ordained by God. And that's as far as they go. And they think, okay, we're supposed to obey government. And most people erroneously believe that means that they should have unconditional submission to government. And that is not what the Bible says. And a lot of people are shocked to think that obeying the government, or excuse me, disobeying the government, is not only doing God's will, but we are commanded to do so. Whenever we resist evil. And our that we're commanded to do that as well. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I believe that that also includes leaders, our elected leaders. Once they get into a place where they are no longer ministers of God for good, and they're operating as ministers of Satan for evil, then to obey that is going against God. And most people don't understand that because it's not being taught from the pulpits. In fact, this is one of the main reasons that I decided to write this book anyway, is because there are so many Christians that are discouraged, they're discombobulated, they're offended by what's going on in our government, but they don't know what to do. So we need to know what our rights are according to the Constitution, and also we need to know, I might even say more importantly, we need to know what the Bible said, because hopefully I'm like most Christians, that I am concerned and I do want to know what our rights are from the Constitution. But what is number one with me is, what does God have to say about all this? I think many Christians are asking that question. They're wanting to know, but they're not getting the answers. And I've done my best to answer those questions in this book. So would you agree with that, Pete? Would you think that acting without knowledge to begin with is just superfluous?
Yeah, I think we have an illustration of that, and the captivity of the Jewish people under Pharaoh, and it was a miserable way of life. And every time they brought a complaint, which is a legitimate complaint, they added more to their burden. And that's exactly what we're seeing on the federal level today. And it took God to be the deliverer through Moses to bring them out of that captivity, and they were so used to the captivity and bondage, they were begging to go back. We were so ignorant because they didn't have any doctrinal concept how they'd been delivered by grace by God, that they wanted the leeks and the garlics to go back. And here, God is just beginning the work of the total deliverance and setting them up under a free society, and yet they kept on rebelling. And I think that's what we see today. When people choose a golf course or the, not anything wrong with golf, there's not anything wrong with football, but they find substitutes to sublimate instead of looking at really how the jaws of tyranny is just coming, making a circle around you, about to draw the clamp that's going to have you in captivity again. So I think we got too many biblical illustrations. And in this book that I'm reading, he's explaining, Bob Thiem is explaining the word dikaiosune.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls it, summarizes it with civil virtue. And it makes up of three parts: the justice, righteousness, and integrity of God. And that's what we're lacking. We have people who don't follow the biblical principles that we can accept, which brings about the deliverance. And so, anyhow, it's just I agree with you on I think, first of all, the doctrinal content, so you get your own norms and standards in line. Then I understand what God gave us through the work of the men dedicated at the constitutional conventions to give us the right thing, but I think they really missed out. It made it too easy to amend, and I think it was one of the presidential advisors named Gardner that said, we've got to make an end run around the Constitution. You can't take a direct head-on attack like they did in the Civil War, men charging each other with bayonets. He said, we've got to take an end run around it, and the people won't even know what's happening to them. So I think that's what we see.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You made the comment that the Israelites, once they were freed after God had really judged Egypt, and Pharaoh released the people, and they were free, and so they leave Egypt, and they go through the Red Sea. God shows them all the miracles and his power, and yet they still did not trust him. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And what went through my mind is that here they have been brainwashed to that degree, And they didn't even have a liberal, anti-establishment, anti-biblical media like we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a double whammy for us today, because so many people, like you said, are interested in a football team or maybe something on TV. They're always distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is by plan. I think that so many things, like when the Olympics come on TV, and you always have some kind of scandal.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something that the news media is trying to keep the minds of the people occupied, so that they won't notice all the shenanigans, the really important things that are going on in government, so that they won't even give it a thought.
Isn't that what Nero said? Give them bread. Give them circuses and bread.
I have that.
That's the same thing as neutralized thinking. Just entertain them, but don't let them start thinking.
Right, and I have that quote in my book.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that we need to recognize. And like you say, there's nothing wrong with having a favorite football team or a sports event, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people have shows that whether it be a soap opera or some show they like on TV. There's nothing wrong with knowing that. There's some men that can tell you every statistic. For instance, in baseball, they can give you the batting averages of all these different players, and they keep up with it. They have their finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. But when people in general know more about a football team, or they know more about a particular TV program than they do about their own government and the fundamentals and the basics of how their country operates, and something is wrong there when they know more about that than they know about the biblical precepts that have to do with the relationship between Christians and their government, then you really have a problem.
Well, I've run out of gas. Don't know what else to ask you, but I appreciate the fact that Tim has set up this system, and you can join in, and others who have truth, that we can start reaching out further and have an extension of not only the doctrinal issues, but also of the issues that pertain to trying to reverse the trend into darkness again, dark ages. We're headed that way. So thank you again for taking over and filling in. And tell Jim we appreciate all he's doing.
Okay, thank you, Pete, and thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
The number, again, if you'd like to call in, is 979-830-0163. And I appreciate Pete calling in. Pete has been a member of Country Bible Church for a number of years, and he's not the average person. He knows what's going on. He knows what his rights are, and he's an independent thinker. That's the problem. We have so many people, Christians as well, that don't think independently. So many people depend on the evening news in order to get their information. And if that's the only thing you're getting your information from is the 6 o'clock news, then you're in trouble, because you're really not getting news. What you're getting is propaganda. Everything that you hear from most of the mainstream media is not news that hasn't gone through a filter. There is a liberal filter that the mainstream media goes through, and they know how to use the words that are going to fit their agenda. There are things that you're not going to see on the 6 o'clock news that would mitigate what your thinking is on a particular issue. So we need to be aware of that. But fortunately, there are alternatives. One of them is the Dr. Jim Britell talk show, and all of the various pastors and people that are on here, there is no spin there. In fact, I've seen Dr. Jim, excuse me, from time to time, if I don't move my mouse, I lose the screen. I think I lose the audio as well. I've heard Dr. Jim say recently, the spin stops here. And I'm glad to hear that, because there's not an ounce of spin in Dr. Jim. He is an independent thinker. And that's what we all need to be, not only independent in our thinking, but also have a freedom mentality. We have been so dumbed down that has nearly has nearly vanished from our thinking. We have another caller here. Good morning. You're on the Dr. Jim Show.
Hi, Mike.
It's who?
Sandy. Sandy.
Oh, okay. Let me put this over here where people can hear you. Now, speak as loud as you can so folks can hear you. This is another member of my church. This is Candace Schultz. And Candace, I appreciate you calling. What's on your mind this morning? Hold on. I don't hear you. Hold on.
I'm here.
Okay. Are you calling from a cell phone?
I'm calling from a home phone.
A home phone. Okay, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, and you may have covered this with Jim, and I've always wanted to pose this question to all of us who are Christians first and obedient first to the Word of God and want to fulfill His plan as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why are people so obsessed with Romans 13 in the way you have not described it, when we throughout our history have gone after tyrants all over the world? We've gone after Hitlers and Stalins and Castros, etc. Why do we not seem to apply that when we may have one in our own backyard and consider it anti-government, anti-constitutional, or anti-Christian to want to clean the mess up at home that we have here?
That's a very good question, Candy, can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, that's a very good question. I believe it stems from misplaced loyalty. For so many decades, for the whole, I guess, from the at least from Teddy Roosevelt's era, you've had Americans being told over and over that we are the greatest nation in the world, that we are a superpower, or the superpower. And that may have been true at one time, but it's not true anymore. And people feel like if they say anything even negative about the country or about the government, then they're being disloyal. And I think that goes along with the mentality of why we were at the ready to go and to destroy tyranny and despots around the world, but when they happen in our own backyard, oh, that can't happen to us. What I'm saying is I think most of the people of this country are in denial. They're afraid to look at the facts and the truth as it really is because it's ugly. They don't want to acknowledge that our country is no longer the great nation that it once was. In fact, to even allege that is enough to send some people into a rant, into a rage, because they think that anything that is criticizing the nation is unpatriotic. And that's a person that's in denial. And I'm talking about the great masses of this country. You see, until you're ready to acknowledge that this country is no longer what it once was, then you're not ready to face the facts and face reality and be ready to, even in your own mind, to accept the fact that we're going to be destroyed by God if we continue on the path that we are on. And until people make that switch in their own mind that we cannot wrap ourselves in the flag and keep singing glory, glory, hallelujah, isn't America great? It's not great any longer. That's offensive to some people, but those who are independent, freedom-loving people have to be ready to say that and defend it with the facts. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I just feel it's amazing how you cannot see what's happening in your own backyard. I mean, the fact that all of us growing up through Reagan or Carter or Nixon generation, and we had Halloween masks, or we had, parties amongst our friends that would mock some of the leaders, and it didn't matter who it was, but someone wears our current president's mask today as a rodeo clown and gets fired and supposedly banned from all ever working as the rodeo clown again. Doesn't that ring a bell with anybody who's got their brain turned on?
Well, I wonder about the same thing. Political correctness has a chokehold on this country. I saw yesterday where there was, in an elementary school, two little boys in elementary school, I don't know what grade, probably third grade or whatever, were expelled from school because they took their finger and they were acting like they were playing cops and robbers, and they were shooting their gun, their finger, as if it was a gun, and they were expelled for that. And this isn't just a random isolated case. This happens all over the country. And what amazes me is how many professing Christians that should know better are going along with it. And you see, if you don't have a steady stream of what we would call Bible doctrine, God's word and God's principles going into your soul, then you're going to accept these type of things. And it's contrary to the word of God. David said, the Lord has taught me how to bend the bow. And God in the Old Testament, you read it, and some people are amazed and they're aghast of how the gore and the blood, and these were things that God has ordained in order to wipe out the enemies. And today, you don't see that anymore. When I was a little boy, they used to have toy pistols where you'd put a little dart in with a rubber deal on the end, and you would shoot it. And you don't see those things today because the media and the liberals have taken over, and they have done a tremendous job of brainwashing the people that guns are bad. The reason that we have all these problems and all these shootings despicable is because guns are bad. And what we need to do is pass laws to outlaw guns. And eventually what they really want to do is take guns away from all the people, and then alleging that then we would be safe. How can anyone even start to believe such a lie? We have some estimates 200 million guns in this country. And so they say what we need to do is get the guns off the street. And they're not going to do that. You're not going to get 200 million guns. Even if you had outright confiscation, they're not going to get them. And when they make laws that just prohibit, when they make laws that you can't carry a gun, which, by the way, is a direct assault on the Second Amendment. The highest law in the land, according to the Constitution itself, gives us the right not only to keep, but to bear arms. And yet we have thousands of these laws, gun control laws, and the criminals don't pay any attention to the laws anyway. And these people know it. So they can pass all the laws they want, and the only thing they're doing is taking guns away from law-abiding citizens. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that, and yet it happens every day. You see these type of things.
Well, what I found was interesting. There was a speaker recently that went around to high schools who went into a Texas high school which had their they had their ROTC, junior ROTC, and they were so proud of their shooting range. And has showed the targets and showed how these young men and women, and even a gentleman who is in a wheelchair, who is striving to be whatever branch of service in this ROTC. And the gentleman that was speaking had a Christian motif, but had to be screened, not really questioned, but other schools had to be asked if he overstepped his bounds. Evidently, he got the thumbs up, but because he's not scripted, he said the word Jesus Christ one too many times, and literally the one of the people in the audience was told by the principal, stop him, stop him. He got on a chair and waved his arms to stop him. Now, it was amazing because somebody like back when, Madeline O'Murray O'Hare, in one woman, maybe she had a cast of thousands behind her, but she could change everything. But you have a gentleman that can go into a school that is so, seems to be constitutionally backed and principle backed, and meaning divine laws of establishment and learning how to train kids and support the military, went absolutely crazy as if this man was doing something obscene on the stage. What is up with that?
Well, you don't have children being educated today. Again, they're being programmed. It's the same thing with the media. When you're watching TV, you're being programmed. And I'm not saying that watching TV is wrong or evil, but if you don't have God's principles already solidified in your own soul where you can see through all of this garbage, then you, over a period of time, you suck that in. You hear it so many times. We even start to adopt the language of the media. And those words are carefully crafted to change people's thinking. I'll give you an illustration. They call certain rifles now assault weapons. Assault weapons. Now, that's what the media calls it over a period of time. What do people call them? Assault weapons. Well, why call them assault weapons? Why not call them freedom weapons? I mean, you could call them freedom weapons just as well, because this is what we use throughout history to defend our freedoms. And yet people, it changes the thinking in people. Same thing with the term gay. It used to be that this was a good word. You could say, we had a gay old time. You say that today and everybody looks at you, wow, what are you saying? You're homosexual or something? And I even from time to time will use the term gay, because that's the only word just about now that describes homosexuals. But I'm making an effort, and I'm pretty well towards my goal, is not to call them gay. There's nothing gay. There's nothing happy. There's nothing fun about being gay. It's an abomination to God. So when I'm referring to a gay person or the gay agenda, I don't use that. I use the homosexual, because that's what they are. I've even heard some pastor call them sodomites. And so it's the words that you use have meaning. And if you're not getting a steady flow of truth into your soul, then you're going to adopt those words, and it's easy to start thinking that way. And it's amazing how many people would go along with the scenario you just gave of where you had a speaker using Jesus Christ's name as somebody. Was it a principal that was in the a teacher?
He had one of his assistants try to stop him.
Okay, he had an assistant because he was using the term Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ has always been, that name will foster more animosity and hatred than any other name there is, because of the satanic control of this earth. But for that to happen, where were the other students? Why didn't the students go home and tell their parents, the speaker was speaking today, I was learning, it was really great, and yet we had someone stop him because he used the name Jesus Christ. Ask their parents, what is that about? And then when the parents hear that, what are they going to do about it? Are they just going to shrug, oh, well, that's the way it is these days? Or are they going to confront this issue?
I think the sad part about it is like you said, we can't call our nation the land of the free and the home of the brave, because Lady Gaga calls it the land of the free and the home of the gay.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we kid about saying Adam and Steve in the garden, or Madam and Eve, mm-hmm. and they all think those are cute, and they've cotton on to them.
Well,
that's okay. Mm-hmm. Love is okay no matter where you send it. So it doesn't matter if it's in, pedophilia or bestiality or same-sex marriages. As long as you love, then love is the answer.
You know, it's incredible to me that we as a nation are struggling with what marriage is. People, you don't even have to be my age. You're considerably younger than me. You would never thought in your lifetime that we as a nation would be struggling with the definition of marriage. And when you have a country that is that far gone, we are on very thin ice. Dr. Jim has been talking recently and teaching that there's three areas that we have to nail down. One of them is structural with regards to the government. The other is in the social area or moral area in society, and in the education. Those three at the same time have to be addressed. in order to try to undo the damage that has been done. And I don't want to be cynical, but I don't see that happening in this country. I don't see people in a serious way addressing this, and I don't see a groundswell of any movement that is really changing things. And the only thing that can do that is the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. And the problem is people are too busy. They don't, and the pastors. Well, I'll tell you, some of you may have heard of Dr. Chuck Baldwin, and I think highly of him with his attitude towards a Christian and government. In fact, he wrote a book called Romans 13, and I would recommend it to people. And Christians just dismiss these things and say, "Oh, well, that's the way things are," and it's coupled with ignorance. Ignorance and arrogance go together. And when you have ignorance, arrogance, and apathy, that's the formulation for the ruination of a country. And a lot of people are afraid to say anything, or even to acknowledge that our nation is no longer the great nation it once was, is because they have confused speaking out against the country with speaking out against government. In other words, anytime you would criticize or point out the evil things that are going on in our government, they take it as an affront or an assault on our country. But it's not. The people who think that you have to defend the government in order to defend your country have it wrong. And oftentimes they will speak out against people who say it's wrong. Our country has lost its way, and the president has taken the wrong course. And anything like that, they take it personally. They think, "Oh, well, this isn't a patriot because he's not lauding our country." Well, true patriots, their allegiance is to freedom, not the government. And anytime the government is anti-freedom, then the real patriot will be anti-government. And that does not mean that they're anti-country. In fact, the real patriots are the ones that are speaking out. And there's not that many of them anymore because people have changed in their thinking. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think we learn from history that we learn nothing from history. And the sad part about it is, I believe you were present in another school that we talked to a third grade teacher, and she even admitted they don't even teach the kids cursive writing anymore. So when these children are programmed to not even think, to not even hold a book, to read nooks, to read texts, and to disregard the histories of other nations that have preceded us in the fall, as in Russia, and same exact path, no one is alarming any of the youth of today that's going to be the generation that's going to have to suffer or fight. They just simply go, "Oh, it's never happened to me. You know, where's the ball?"
yeah, as they're looking at their smartphone. I remember the incident you're talking about. I was talking to the teacher, and I was surprised. I teach a young people's class at Country Bible Church, and I was surprised that I wrote a note one time. Of course, I wrote it in cursive and gave it to one of the kids. I said, "Here," and they said, "Well, I can't read cursive." And I was surprised. I said, "Well, don't they teach that in school anymore?" And they say, "No, they don't. They don't teach that anymore." And at that same, we were in the cafeteria, and there was a classroom going on in there when we were standing there. And they were taking a test. And I asked the teacher, I said, what kind of test are they taking? She said, a math test. I said, but they all have calculators. Every one of them had calculators. And I said, well, how can they be taking a math test and you allow them to use calculators? She said, oh, well, they don't know how to divide and multiply. I said, what? They don't know how to divide and multiply. What do they do if they don't have a calculator? Do you know that the major stores, whenever there's the electricity goes out, they have to shut down because if the cashier, the people operating the cashiers, the cash registers, I guess they're the computers now, if they don't have that telling them how to make change, they can't do it. They don't know how to do it. This is just astounding to me. And the young people are not only are they taught the what used to be the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, they also are not given any history. And if you don't know where you've been, where your country's been, how in the world are they going to know where it's going? And so history isn't even being taught for the most part. And if it is, it's revisionist history. We're just in really a bad way as a country. And the first thing that we have to do, if we're going to turn it around, is being informed with what the Bible has to say about these issues, and also with regarding the government, what the Constitution has to say on these issues, what our rights are, and be willing to defend them.
You're exactly right. I thank you, Mike. I don't know if you have anybody that's waiting, and I don't want to hog the time because I'm sure there are some wonderful questions waiting to be asked.
Well, I thank you for calling in, Candy. Always a pleasure.
So, same here.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, the line is open again. The number again. Well, somebody's already got the number here. Hello, this is Pastor Mike on the Dr. Jim Show. Can I help you?
Yes, this is Dot Loney and Brown.
Oh, you need to turn your mute your computer so we won't hear that feedback.
Okay, Mike, I'm out of.
Okay, go ahead, Dot. Dot Moni is the wife of Pete Moni, which are members of our church. So what's on your mind, Dot?
I'm going to make this short and sweet because I'm not the talker Pete is, but I want to tell you, getting back to the Romans 13 passages that you've written your book on.
Yes.
The reason that most people believe that they have to do what the government tells them to do is because most pastors in the independent, in your denominational churches teach that. It wasn't until we got into an independent Bible teaching church that we found out that this doesn't have to be.
Well,
so
just try, go ahead.
That's it.
Okay. Well, that's so true. And I don't know if it's so many pastors don't know really what Romans 13 says, but I've heard several of them use it as, well, it's same thing that people say. Well, it's the law. Meaning that, okay, if it's the law, it doesn't matter what it is, you have to obey it. And there are pastors who use Romans 13 in that same way, because when people are concerned, they're saying our rights are disappearing and we're, the government is intruding on our privacy. There's all these things that are happening. And I've heard pastors say, well, Romans 13, like, you know, that's, it doesn't matter what the government does. It doesn't matter what the law is. The Bible forces us to obey it. And that is not what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And people believe that.
Okay, I'm finished. You're nearly out of time, and I'm not the talker in the family. So
okay, well, thank you.
That point over, though, that we had been taught that all of our life until we got into a Bible teaching, expository teaching, and this is what people need now, is that. And the Bible teachers are growing, and so maybe we'll get there one of these days.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, Doc. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, Dot hit the nail on the head there. The pastors aren't teaching it. The people aren't getting it. And so they're in a quandary. They don't know what to do. And they're frustrated. They see these things going on. In fact, most people think that when they obey a law, even if it's unconstitutional, even if it's immoral, they think that they are doing what the Christians are obliged and required to do, and this would be pleasing to God. And there are very few voices crying out and saying, this is not so. This is not what the Bible teaches. And that's one reason I wrote the book, Tolerating Tyranny, so that people would understand that that's a distortion of Romans 13, 1 through 7. The first couple of verses, if you only take the first couple of verses and take them out of context, it appears that we are required to submit unconditionally to government. But this, if you look at what the first part of Romans leading up to that, we have the Jews being told that they are not under the Mosaic law, that we are under grace. And so what Paul was doing when he started chapter 13 was explaining to the Jews the fact that just because you're no longer under the Mosaic law. There's a new dispensation, and we call it the church age, and you're not obliged to have to go in back into the Mosaic law. But that doesn't mean that you don't have any law. You see, it's easy for the Jews back then to think, okay, well, if I don't have to be under a law that was given by God, then certainly I don't have to be under the law that's given by man. And it was in that context that Romans 13, especially verses 1 and 2, that is simply conceptual. What Paul is doing is telling these Jews that, no, you're still required to submit to government. You're not without any law, because God ordained government, but just like there are restraints on the Constitution, even Romans 13 puts restraints upon a government, because government was created by God and ordained to be His ministers. Just like I'm a minister, I'm a pastor. Those that are in government are there by God's permission and are supposed to be representing Him and doing His will, because they are ministers of God for good, not for evil. And when they get out of that paradigm of being a minister of God for good, they break their oath of office, they disobey the Constitution, and they're no longer minister of God for good. And I am bold enough to say they become at that point ministers of Satan for evil, and we are not obliged. We're not required to submit to that. And there's so much more that I'd like to say about this, because people say, well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but how does this work out? What does that mean to a person that's ready to do what is right? But unfortunately, we only have about 4 more minutes, and I wanted to save this time for if anyone else still would like to call. It's not too late, because we, just like Dot, you can call and just ask me a quick question, make a comment, and we'll still be able to cover it. Anyway, we are in a very, very dangerous times right now. Even on the pundits and the people, the news people, the talking heads and so forth, people in government all over are recognizing that there might be a paradigm shift, because there's really a battle for power right now. And the country is split like it never has been before. At least that's what everyone is saying, and I tend to believe it. And what comes out of this, even in the near future, appears to, as if it's going to set the stage for what's going to be coming for a long period of time. And you have those who are, I don't like to use labels, but I have to designate it somehow. I'll call them the liberal mindset. And the liberal mindset is that we need to spend more money, raise the debt limit so that we can have even more spending, even though we have $17 trillion in debt now, which is an astronomical figure. If you add in Social Security, Medicare, some say it's $90 trillion. That's so much. It's mind-boggling how much it is, and they want to continue to elevate this. So essentially, the government can take the place of God. That's the problem. So many people are looking to government for support, sustenance, to solve their problems. The government was never designed. Our government was never designed to solve anyone's problem. Our government was designed in order to give us the freedom so that we can make our own choices and solve our own problems. And yet that mindset is pretty much out the window these days, and people are depending on government rather than God for solutions. Well, I show that I have less than a minute left. I thank you very much for joining us today, and I thank Dr. Jim for giving me this opportunity. And I would ask you as well to join in on Dr. Jim's, on all of the programs that he has, but specifically the one that has to do with my book, Tolerating Tyranny, is on Sundays. He has 2 sessions. The early session, I believe, begins at 9. I know it could be, but anyway, you can go to his schedule and see. And he's discussing my book and making tremendous commentary, and you can learn so much from just listening to that. So I would implore you to listen to that. And again, I would like to thank him for having me, and I thank you for tuning in. And I'll just pray that, let's close in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you have all the answers. You have the solutions. We pray that you'll help us to keep an open mind as we seek the truth and what we are to do, and that we will not be afraid, but we'll just continue to be informed and then rely on you and the Holy Spirit to guide us into making the right decisions, and that we will be emboldened to do this. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.